Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah! Happy Being Alive Day, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you dropping on by, spending part of your morning or all of your morning with the DA. Coming up in 20 minutes, we've got your sound check. Your best audio of the day. In 40 minutes, we remember a Baltimore legend. But we were just talking about the offense of the Miami Dolphins putting up 70 points on Sunday. A note on the Broncos. Would it not be amazing if the Broncos are actually worse than they were last year under Nathaniel Hackett? Didn't think that was possible. Might we see the 2023 version of the Broncos make the 2022 version look somewhat competent? I mean, at least last season, Nathaniel Hackett's team didn't ever give up 70 points.
Maybe they should give Russ his office back.
Give Russ his office back. Let him have his team of insurance salesmen that follow him around throughout the facility. Let Russ cook. He stripped them of his powers. Now they're giving up 70 points a game. So a lot of questions in Denver about what just happened and what they've seen over the course of this early part of the season. Hasn't certainly looked much better than it was last year, but Russ has been a little bit more efficient, seemingly, in certain scenarios, but not overall. And the exact opposite is happening in Miami. Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills prepare to take on this undefeated Miami Dolphins team coming up here on Sunday. And Sean McDermott was waxing poetic about the offense that he's going to face and said that they even seem revolutionary in how they approach things. And I was thinking, boy, that's some strong words for a guy that doesn't usually speak in hyperbole. I mean, Sean McDermott is pretty close to the vest. McDermott usually does not over-exaggerate. And, you know, he's a bland, boring, very, very conservative in terms of, you know, how he approaches things type of guy. And for him to say the Dolphins offense almost is revolutionary, I thought was interesting. This is a game in Buffalo coming up on Sunday. And, you know, I don't necessarily think it's revolutionary. I think there are some concepts of what McDaniel is bringing to the table, which we see in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan's offense, obviously, with a lot of motion, a lot of creative sets, guys in non-traditional spots, unique types of formations. That has been actually, you know, it's really from the old Mike Shanahan play calling and offense. And Mike Shanahan's offense goes back to the West Coast offense with Mike Holmgren and then Bill Walsh back in San Francisco. So this is really all rooted in what Bill Walsh brought to the table back in the 80s and what he learned from Paul Brown back in the 70s, which is now fast forward and put on steroids because now the game's much more wide open. Now you have guys that are pretty incredible athletes that you can put into space a lot of different ways. defense can't crowd you the way that they used to be able to. They can't hit you the way they used to be able to. And quarterbacks are just far more, I think, savvy in quick decision-making and just some executional plays that we've never seen before. Like the back shoulder fade is a pretty indefensible play when it is executed correctly. And the back shoulder fade wasn't really a thing, you know, before, let's just say, 15 years ago. So there are elements right now of what the Dolphins do, what Shanahan of the Niners do, and some other offenses. The Packers have some of that in there that is very, very unique. But I don't think it's really revolutionary because there's parts of this across the NFL. I think really what you have here with the Dolphins is one player having his truest potential unlocked. And this is what we dream about with coaches and quarterback gurus and these guys, maybe a pitching coach or a certain head coach of the NBA, college basketball, college football, these specific brains who are able to look inside somebody else's brain and say, this is how we unlock your greatest potential. And that, simply put, is what Mike McDaniel has done with Tua Tagovailoa. It's not that Tua wasn't ever a talented individual. The Dolphins wouldn't have drafted him where they did. And Tua, before his final injury at Alabama, was the presumed number one pick in the draft, remember? I mean, tank for Tua was the rallying cry. So plenty of executives, and plenty of coaches, plenty of fans, media observers, knew that Tua was really an exciting prospect. But he was ultimately injury prone at Alabama. He slipped in the draft a little bit and would always be compared to the big, strong-armed, muscular Justin Herbert, who just felt and looked more like a prototypical, dynamic NFL quarterback. Tua wasn't what Justin Herbert was. Didn't have this kind of cannon for an arm. Didn't look like the Terminator walking out there, the big flowing locks. Tua was a little bit more slight. He was a little bit more slender. He didn't have as big of an arm. It didn't seem like he had a howitzer attached to his shoulder. And he was also somewhat soft-spoken. He was very polite. And, you know, people didn't know what to believe, including myself. And I think his teammates as well. Tua might have been trying to fit in. Tua might have been trying to prove that he was an alpha, prove that he was a leader, prove that he was a franchise quarterback. Maybe it was off-putting to some at times because it felt artificial behind the scenes. But there was certainly a disconnect between Tua as what he was supposed to be and what Tua realistically was, which was somewhat injury-prone, serviceable quarterback, but not a top 10 pick in the draft who was supposed to solve all of the problems of quarterback that the Dolphins have had since Dan Marino retired. And I give Tua credit. Because I think the first seasons of Tua's career, he does not have an offensive head coach. Tua, remember, has Brian Flores as his head coach, a defensive head coach. And there's clearly some bubbling behind the scenes of what exactly Tua can ever be. And the first 2 years, he doesn't finish the season due to injury, and they don't really take a great step forward. They are better, but it's not like they've got playoff success, and there's still question marks about the offense. And Brian Flores is just clearly not the guy that's going to be able to tap into a quarterback's brain and tell him, this is the read here, this is the hot route there, etc. So even though Brian Flores seemed to be doing a pretty good job, they fire him. And remember the hellstorm that followed that. Why would you fire Brian Flores? He finally got them, you know, back on the winning side of things. What has he done to get fired? And the Dolphins had no track record of good decision-making. So it was totally fair to question that. And I still think Brian Flores would make a good head coach at the NFL. What I had heard was he was difficult to work with behind the scenes because he was a hard ass. And he was really intense and also didn't necessarily play well in the sandbox with others. So assistant coaches got fatigued of him. Players got exhausted by him. Management around him was like, you're always on the offensive. And it just became exhausting to be around him. And so they just said, even though the team's a little better, we think we need a better work environment, basically. and the Dolphins end up being validated because Mike McDaniel certainly is an easier guy to deal with. That much is evidently clear. But also, the offense has taken flight, and they make the playoffs last year. They nearly win a playoff game in Buffalo with Skylar Thompson as their quarterback. And now they're 3-0, and they look like one of the best teams in football. What Mike McDaniel did was simply find a way to connect to Tua from an emotional standpoint, a mental standpoint, and a football standpoint. It had to be all three of those. And figure out what it would take to unlock whatever Tua's greatest potential is. Now, here's where you got to give Tua credit. He didn't let the first two seasons break him. It certainly feels like Zach Wilson's broken, that there really isn't a fix here. That even if Zach Wilson was coached by Mike McDaniel or Kyle Shanahan or one of the great offensive coaches, Sean McVay or, you know, whoever, would he ever be what we're seeing from Tua? Would he ever be at the head of an offense that can put up 70 points? That feels highly unlikely no matter who his head coach was, no matter who his weapons were. So Tua, from a mental standpoint, I think is much stronger than people gave him credit for. And let's think about the concussions last year. That was something that could have put a lot of people into their own mental closet and never be really comfortable to come out of. And you could understand that. We saw some pretty hellish images of Tua laying prone on the field, you know, arm a limp, akimbo, and it was really very scary. Tua fought through all of that. Early questions about him, the injuries that have dogged him, a second head coach early in his career, and the concussions. And he's flying right now. Now, they gave him great weapons. Jalen Waddle's been great. Tyreek Hill, obviously, is a huge piece. They helped up the offensive line. They gave him an offensive-minded head coach. So he's been helped in a lot of ways. But I think Mike McDaniel did something more important. He gave Tua the roadmap of how to succeed and let Tua trust because he was able to connect with him on a personal basis. It's the video of him on the sidelines, and they're kind of poking fun at one another, and they're doing it in the middle of a game on the sideline during a timeout, shows that Tua, he wasn't a robot. He wasn't worried or scared or overthinking. McDaniel was trying to get him to relax, to trust him, and to be one of the guys. And I don't think anybody would have said that about Tua the first 2 years of his career. Relaxed, one of the guys, trusting. And McDaniel got there somehow with him. Now, quick drops, quick reads. Tua knows where the guys are supposed to be. When the Denver Broncos decide not to cover Tyreek Hill, that's an easy throw to make. So he was helped out certainly on Sunday. But there's something, the revolutionary part of the Dolphins is not, in my estimation, the game plan. It's that Mike McDaniel has been able to put all of these things together and make it work, and all the guys are so different. Tyreek Hill is nothing like Tua. Nothing. But it's somehow working, and Tyreek has gone to bat for Tua for these 2 years. He said publicly, and maybe he's saying publicly what Mike McDaniel would like to say, but he's not going to say because he's the head coach. But there is a meld, a chemistry there on offense, certainly, that feels like they really trust one another, the offense, the scheme, the quarterback, and the coach. And look, if you're a Dolphins fan, and I worked in Florida two different times, so I've been around a lot of Dolphins fans. I did Dolphins postgame show. I've been around former Dolphins. I used to work with Keith Sims and Keith Byers. Those guys were part of the Dan Marino days. It has been a long time since anybody around the Dolphins could be like, yeah, we're a healthy, functional organization where the coach and the quarterback trust one another and like things are going well. This is not what the Dolphins have ever been since Marino and Shula. Even Marino and Jimmy Johnson weren't like this. That, to me, feels like the, quote, revolutionary part. When we come back, we've got sound check and we dig into the toy box. D'Aliens, including longtime D'Aliens, stay right there. I'll make it worth your while. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Josh Dobbs, the surprising starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals this season. But he's now been the starting quarterback for three consecutive weeks and just pulled off a huge upset of the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Wizard of Oz on Sunday. So Josh Dobbs, recording his first victory as a starting quarterback in the NFL, went into the Cardinals team store. Now, I'm not sure if he was buying a gift for somebody or maybe just for a souvenir for himself, but went into the Cardinals official team store and couldn't find his own jersey.
Yo, Josh Dobbs here. All right, I'm in the team store for the Cardinals, trying to get a jersey for my fam. Check this out. So I walk over here to get a jersey made. Boom. Adult. Then I go large. Next. Then I go select from roster. Okay. Next. And guess what? Your boy is nowhere to be found. You got all the numbers and no number 9. Like, yo, I know I just got here, but at least, come on, we can at least have the custom jersey ready for me. Help your boy out.
So that is from Josh Dobbs' social media handle. That has to be quite the humbling moment. You're the starting quarterback of the Cardinals. You have just beaten the Cowboys, who have tortured the Cardinals throughout their history because they were once division rivals in the NFC East. And he goes into the team store, he says, to buy a jersey for his fans. And he's going through all the jerseys, and there's no Josh Dobbs jersey. And is he saying you can't even customize a Josh Dobbs jersey?
Yes, he's on the kiosk, I guess, at the team store where you can customize jerseys. And at these kiosks or even on the website, usually they have the whole roster there. So you can just pick a player that maybe isn't, like, you know, well-known. He isn't even on that. He's not on the full roster, let alone just the players that they normally have, the star players. He's like, let me just, I know you can probably get the long snapper before you can get a Josh Dobbs jersey.
No, I was thinking on this story, who would be the most popular jersey sold at the team store for the Cardinals this year?
Probably still Kyler.
Yeah, probably Kyler Murray. But yeah. Okay, so let's take Kyler off of the list because he's not playing.
I mean, Buda Baker?
Or James Conner?
I guess
those would be the two guys, I would think.
James Conner or Buda Baker? I mean, isn't Buda Baker injured?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also injured. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, in terms of the guys who are playing,
Rondale Moore?
Or James Conner or Mark Hollywood Brown?
Maybe.
Who stinks?
Who was their first round pick this year? Did they have one?
I don't know. I don't even remember. Did they have one? I don't know if they did.
I have no idea.
It wasn't anybody flashy, I don't think. It might have been a lineman, and you're not going to buy a lineman jersey. They off a first round pick.
They should have just kept Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
So they had him.
Oh, Paris Johnson. That's why we didn't remember. Offensive lineman.
Okay.
Paris Johnson, right.
So I saw a couple of deep takes on this, deep analysis that he did this, that this shows that he has a bad relationship with the team, like that he didn't have to share this, but he shared it like to really make a point because of some issue with the organization.
I'd be surprised if he had an issue with the organization because they got rid of Colt McCoy to start him.
Yeah, but didn't they think he was the worst option?
Because they were trying to tank.
Right. Exactly.
So he's going to take it personally that they started him to give him the job that he's never had because they thought that he was specifically going to stink.
Right. That Colt was too good to start for them.
I think that's reading a little too deep.
Probably.
I think if your organization gives you a job, a starting job, and they say, I'm sure behind the scenes, Jonathan Gannon isn't like, I hope that you lose because we really think you stink. I think they're probably saying nice things to him. He's got to be pretty loyal to the guys that gave him that job.
But if you're a player and you want something, you don't go to the team store. Like, you tell somebody, hey, I need this, and it like shows up at your locker. That's the way I would assume. This feels like somebody told him, hey, man, I was in there on Sunday. There's no Dobbs jerseys. Can't even make one. So then he went in there knowing he wasn't going to find a Dobbs jersey.
That is possible. I think it's probably a thing where before the season, the team store makes the list of jerseys that they have prepared. They put this order in June or July. They have the list ready. Everything is ready to go week one of the NFL season or the preseason. The preseason probably is when these decisions are made. And then, you know, Dobbs was not even a blip on the radar then, and now it's week three, and it looks kind of stupid now, but you know, these things are probably set way long ago.
This feels like to me, I mean, we've seen teams acquire players the day before, and then they have jerseys ready. I don't know when right. Aaron Rodgers got, you know, traded, but it felt like there were Rodgers jerseys before he even got traded to
That's
the Jets,
true.
It feels like. Like, to me, this just felt like one of those moments where you have a team that is so going through the motions. Besides
right.
the players, apparently, because the players are playing hard.
Right.
The coach, who's kind of weird, seems to be doing a decent job. But everyone else in the organization is just like going through the motions, just waiting for the draft. So they don't even have the starting quarterback's jersey ready at the team store.
I love that take. EJ says the Arizona Cardinals on September 27th are waiting for the draft. They're waiting for late April already.
And don't forget, they kind of had a head start. Their first game was on the road. This isn't week one. He's just here, haven't gotten a shipment in. They had a game they almost won.
In Washington.
Then they had a Giants game that they almost won, and he was playing well through six quarters, and they still didn't think someone might want to buy the quarterback's jersey.
And now
let's
on
make a few.
Tuesday, I guess this is probably posted yesterday, Tuesday of the week after they beat the Cowboys, still nobody is like, maybe we should have a Dobbs jersey. Here is Darius Slay via the Second Wind podcast. I feel like that could have been Mraz's podcast. As or maybe that's Bilotti's podcast. He gets Second Wind. Talking about trying to cover Calvin Johnson Megatron in practice.
I got to practice, man. Talking about strong, athletic, fast, quick, get out of breaks. Just as quick as a little dude, you know what I'm saying?
Big
running
as hell.
A 4.3 at 6'3", 6'4", about 240.
Damn.
Running through air. I'm talking about, I press him, running right through my arm.
Running through it.
It don't phase him. You know, I never been that type of player. Like, damn. Like, what I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm.
But, man, every day, work. And I'm on Jim Schwartz had me on first team defense and first team scouts. I got the first four plays of scout team and the first all the plays of one's defense.
One's
so
damn.
I had to be like guys like Revis at that time. I had to be like Tlaib. Yeah. Every time that guys that travel and stuff like that for Calvin, I had to be Pat Pete. I had to have that jersey on being him, so they was getting me ready.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, and when I tell you, it was like, I probably my whole rookie year, I ain't not no ball down from him, no PBU,
really,
no nothing.
God, you were trying your best.
Everything, you know what I'm saying? Every way. I'll try and do it professionally because the fact that, you know, you can't
really.
100 M's can't be on the ground.
Facts.
100 M's can't be on the ground.
That is such a good clip. To really hear behind the scenes. Now, Darius Slay was all SEC at Mississippi State. He was a second-round pick, so he is not some type of chump. He has been a five-time Pro Bowler over the course of his career, Lions and Eagles. And when he first came to the league, he went an entire year covering Calvin Johnson in practice and didn't knock down one ball. That tells you what there is between really great and then Hall of Fame legend great. That's how great Calvin Johnson was. Hall of Fame legend great. Not one pass knocked down all practice for a kid that was obviously a pretty good cornerback.
And later in the clip that I didn't get to extend because it was too long, he talks about how, oh, after these, you know, times of me getting worked out by Calvin Johnson, he didn't give me tips about, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. Mind you, it never helped them the next practice they would go against each other because he would still catch every single ball. He says that Matt Stafford, what you saw in the games was essentially was practice, was, all right, I'm just going to throw it to Calvin Johnson and it's going to be a catch. It doesn't matter what happens.
Calvin Johnson does not get nearly enough credit for being one of the great wide receivers of all time. He was simply unstoppable. You just could not defend him. He was too big, too long, too fast, too strong. He was so strong, so coordinated, so good in the air, so good in the red zone. You know, he just played on so many crummy line scenes that we never saw him in really big games, but Johnson was just filthy. And finally, here's Jimmy Butler via his own social media, Instagram, as he is going to the pump to fill up his sports car, his Bugatti.
This is high rate f***ing robbery. Man, I'm trying to get some of this gas back. Wow. Hey, you think if I go in there and tell them that I put the wrong gas in here, they'll give me a refund? This is crazy. I'm going electric. Can y'all believe it costs $145 to fill up a Bugatti? Like, this is crazy, Avery. You feel me? You know, unheard of, man. Bugattis, man.
I don't know what type of or where he's filling up. I love
the
Jimmy,
gold fountain.
I love Jimmy Butler, but you're surprised it's more expensive to fill up a Bugatti with elite grade gas than a Ford Taurus. Like when I fill up my car, it's $40 or something like that. Why it would be $145 for him is probably because it's a huge gas tank, is my guess, because it burns so much fuel as a performance vehicle. And you've got to get the highest grade possible. You probably just can't go into like a Sunoco to get gas for Bugatti, right?
So
there has to be special places for Bugatti.
I'm pretty sure the pump says 20 gallons, which is more than my car has ever taken. Any
mine's
car I've
like
ever
11.
Had. I think mine might be 14, my sweet Volkswagen Tiguan. So what's 140 divided by 20? That's $7 a gallon?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is, but here in Jersey, today it was $3.50. I filled it on my way up.
Mm-hmm.
So does he have to pay twice as much as normal gas per gallon because he's got to get the highest octane for a freaking Bugatti? Maybe. I mean, it's just like what you got to do. Like, drive a Taurus if you don't want to pay that much for a Bugatti.
I thought it was ridiculous that he's driving a Bugatti and he's complaining about $145.
Right.
I mean, come on. Like, yeah. I understand if you're driving a normal car, maybe a leg up from a normal car and say, oh, man, $140 is a lot. But, I mean, you're driving a freaking Bugatti. Like, what do you actually expect? You spent probably $200,000, $300,000. I don't know how much Bugattis cost, but I'm sure they're a ton of money. Like, I think $143 a week, a couple of weeks, isn't that bad for Jimmy Butler.
A quick Google search says the most inexpensive version of Bugatti is the Veyron at 1.9 mil.
Are you serious?
Crazy. I don't know if this is correct, but I mean, yeah. So let's just say his Bugatti cost $1 to $2 million. EJ's right. You're complaining about the gas? You spent the $2 million bucks on a car.
Now, I could argue that if I spent $2 million bucks on a car, the gas should be free for forever at the Bugatti station. But assuming that's not a thing, you can't go to the pump and complain about this. But I do want to know which Bugatti Carlos has.
Oh, first of all, I don't have a Bugatti. And I have no sympathy for this dude because it cost me $5 a gallon for my car. But it's like getting a $200 steak and complaining about the price of Velveeta to go to the, with your steak. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You can afford it. It comes off as tone deaf.
If you have the money and the management of money to spend $2 million on a car, then the cost of upkeeping that car should not be sticker shock to you or should not be where you pinch pennies. If it's $145, you're like, how could it be this expensive? How did you get to your brain where it was easy to spend the $2 million on the vehicle itself? And you don't just bring that into Meineke yet. Also, like, if something goes wrong, you got to bring that to Bugatti, and that's a $17,000 service or something like that.
But this is kind of consistent with Jimmy Butler. Like, this whole thing of, like, I'm this humble guy, but also
right.
I'm this superstar. Like, oh, I'm not going to go to my Hall of Fame ceremony. Like, they can put me in, but, like, who am I to go to the Hall of Fame? Oh, yeah, I own a Bugatti, but look at these prices on the gas. I mean, this is kind of who he is.
True. Lunch pail, blue-collar guy that drives a $2 million Bugatti.
Yeah. That's too good to go to Hall of Fame ceremonies, even if he's getting inducted.
And even if the gas was a nickel a gallon, you can't take your Bugatti to the local Exxon next to all the other dopes in their regular cars.
That's right.
You can't have somebody scratch that bad boy. Look, I mean, go somewhere else.
Also,
have the gas brought to you.
What's the what's the miles per gallon on a Bugatti?
2.5?
Right. I mean, you have to keep filling it up. Yeah, I mean, seriously. All right, that's your sound check. All right, now, Bogues, I came in today and I thought, you know, we've had the urine situation around here where the studio apparently smells like number one. We had the stream situation where the engineers had finagled with something and we had no stream and no audio yesterday. And it just has felt like a little bit of a dark cloud. So I said, why don't we take the dark cloud off? Why don't we have some fun today? Why don't we play something that maybe we don't get a chance to play usually? And that brought me to the Year of the Buffoon. I feel like we should go into the crates. It makes everybody feel better, feel smarter. And it's a reminder of a gentler time when Mraz used to just say silly things about history instead of arguing with half of New York City every day and getting death threats online. So I am going to dig into the crates today. Carlos with a K is behind me. EJ is also behind me. Let's dial up the first ever Year of the Buffoon from 2018. Here's our present to you, boys and girls. In 2018, cue the music, Mr. Pete the Body Bilotti. 2018 was a year that Sean Mraz became a household name in so many places across the country. Here is Mraz's greatest hits. Bilotti and I have been putting this together for the entire year. It's the Year of the Buffoon. What number Super Bowl is this?
52.
Okay, what's the Roman numerals?
The Roman numerals would be XL with three single things. Is it deers or die? Like mooses and moose and mice?
You think it's my?
Mice. Something. But all right, anyway.
You thought multiple deer were die.
Or like maybe that's what they call the pride of them. The pride is like a group of animals. My only, if you will, coup de grace to that.
That doesn't make any sense.
I was shooting there. I hope I shot right.
You'd shot terribly wrong.
I missed Nolu Williams there.
What's that? Mraz, I don't know if you have any plans on going to China. But
you know what? I'm more of an Eastern Hemisphere guy.
Which is where China is.
It's actually the hemisphere with China.
Yeah. Are we West? We're West. I'm more of a Western Hemisphere guy. I live East from here.
You live East from the station.
Yes.
What?
It's pronounced the way it's spelled. It's gyro. Enough with the fancy schmancy. We're not in Greece.
It's properly pronounced hero.
So is Spider-Man and Batman. This is a gyro.
You think that Spider-Man is pronounced hero?
Superhero.
You think it's superhero?
I would imagine.
I don't even follow that logic.
Because here we call a sandwich a hero. That is a sandwich there. It is their hero. It would be XL.
XL.
And then three capital letter I's. I find chocolate to be the most pungent of all the candies. And if I'm going with...
Most pungent meaning...
Packed with flavor.
And usually pungent describes a smell, but all right.
Well, yeah, it smells on your tongue. So is this a V and then three stripes?
This is, no, V is five.
50, five. V, zero, three stripes. That's what he's going with, right? The clarinist that's a clarinet player?
What?
That's what he was talking about, the man who sees the perfect clarinist.
What? Why would you think that Jason Witten is talking about playing a clarinet?
Well, who knows what he's talking about? You're a handsome man, right?
You have a giant Buddha belly.
But that's my point. I have a default. Don't add more defaults to yourself.
What?
Obtuse?
No. Obese?
No, I know. Obtuse was a slang on obese. It's like a triangle.
Wow. No, definitely not.
Anybody who actually enjoys a veggie burger probably incorporates them into their lives way too much compared to somebody who wants to, divulge or indulge or what's the word there?
Indulge.
Indulge.
You're welcome.
It just dawned on me. Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Yeah, they named Jacksonville after Michael Jackson.
I never freaking knew that.
How can you not know that? So, got to fly to Denver or Minneapolis.
Would it be shorter to drive? Why are you laughing? Is it that long? Boise's in the middle, so...
Driving from New York to Boise?
Yeah, like Cleveland would be 8 hours. So how much longer to Boise? Another two?
Yeah, it's about 2 hours past Ohio.
So 10 hours. Hala, the first name is Hali Pui Vati Vaitai.
What was that? Hui Pui, did you say?
Hala Pula Vatai Vaitai. It's Hal APOU Apu LIV Live AATI IT. Hala Puli Vaiti Vaitai.
Got it.
Is Table Rock a strip club? That's what they were getting at. So what would Table Rock be?
It's a hike, you doofus. Do you even know where Spain is?
Yes, Europe. Madrid.
Is Spain in Madrid?
No, Madrid is in Spain, as is...
Morocco?
Oh, my God.
I was going for another city there.
So close.
So close.
And then you just, wow. You one step too far, yeah.
Wow.
I was thinking Morocco's in Spain, but now I think it's in the Mediterranean.
Is Morocco a city or a country?
Morocco is a city in the Mediterranean.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't you love how he swallows deep before this? Ah, oh, it's a city in the Mediterranean?
Mediterranean's like New England, right? It's a group of countries.
Mraz, what are the La Brea Tar Pits?
Roller derby team. I didn't even know quicksand was real. That's crazy. What is textile? Like Calibre, Arial?
What?
Like the fonts on Microsoft? Is that what they mean?
Not text style. No, not text style. What's this here?
Jurassic Park. What's the name of them?
Jurassic Five?
No.
Is that it? Jurassic Five? Something is the halftime show. I forgot their names. Some band that everybody thinks is popular and they're not. The guy's on some of those shows that judges women. Not judges women. Judges singers.
Maroon Five?
Is it Maroon 5?
Is it Adam? God. Which one? The Super
Did
Bowl?
Did you think Maroon 5 was Jurassic Park?
What's it be like Justin Timberlake at halftime playing with the homonym of Prince there?
The homonym? The homonym.
Homonym of the thing where it's not really him, but it looks like him. What is it?
I can't believe that Mraz knows the word homonym instead of
that
instead
might
of hologram.
Be more impressive. Yeah.
Hologram. It's the homonym.
Mraz, do you even know what Parliament is?
A cigarette and a funk group.
And any other usage of Parliament?
The movie company?
That's Paramount.
Is it the English Congress?
Yes!
What? I didn't realize that. They stand outside Buchanan's palace.
A group of crows is called a murder of crows.
But all I'm hearing is that song, Murder of Crows, Murder of Crows.
Well, it's Murder, She Wrote. But...
Yeah, but if you did it to, the crows.
Yeah.
So it's L in three stripes?
No! No!
Come on!
It's not!
Come on! You can't be that dumb. Oh, how good is this? That's the first ever Year of the Buffoon from 2018, a montage of just that year's Mraz-isms. And that's it. I'm lifting the black cloud. I'm unveiling all of the... Mraz, Year of the Buffoon montages all morning long. So you have to listen to this show from now right through 10 o'clock Eastern time. We're doing every single Year of the Buffoon, counting down from 2018.
Dog!
That's right. Dog Day!
Dog!
Here on the show.
That's an alpha move by you.
We
Such
have
an
to
alpha
do it.
Move.
We have to do it.
But is he coming back? What's happening?
No, I just think that it's so good. It's so good. And so I want everybody to mark down Wednesday, September 27th, 2023, because this show will be archived forever, YouTube, etc. You will always be able to go back for the full year of the buffoon montages from 2018 through 2022. It's a beautiful thing. We're doing it.
Shame on me. I didn't realize that that was a Bilotti creation. I thought that existed before you guys were in the morning.
No, no. That was me and Bilotti that tag teamed on that.
My Lord.
Yeah. All right, Bogues' headline.
So we have Scott Rolen and Nolan Arenado, but neither is Brooks Robinson, the Orioles' all-time third baseman, passing away at 86. He played all 23 of his seasons in Baltimore, winning 16 gold gloves. They were all in a row. He played in 18 All-Star games, won two World Series, was a Fall Classic MVP, and the 64 AL MVP. Was also beloved for the man he was. Tim Kirkshin's obit on ESPN included this. A sports writer once wrote, "They named a candy bar after Reggie Jackson in New York. We name our kids after Brooks Robinson here in Baltimore." The Orioles began their tributes to Robinson with a moment of silence before last night's 1-0 win over the Nationals, manager Brandon Hyde.
The time he spent with us last year, especially coming in the clubhouse, after he threw the first pitch, I know it was really motivational, inspirational for our players. He's an icon in this game, an icon in this city. There's not many of those. And so we feel terrible for his family.
As for the baseball part, the win maintains Baltimore's 2.5-game lead on the Rays atop the AL East. Tampa Bay held off Boston last night 9-7. The Blue Jays took a 2-0 loss from the Yankees, but they keep their game-and-a-half lead on the Astros for the second AL wild card. Houston falling in Seattle 6-2. The Mariners back to a half game behind Houston for that last playoff spot. The Brewers clinched the NL Central when the Cubs blew a 6-0 lead in Atlanta, losing 7-6. The Phillies clinched the top NL wild card with a 3-2 10-inning win over the Pirates. And the Rockies clinched the first 100-loss season in team history with an 11-2 defeat at the hands of the Dodgers. Lions head coach Dan Campbell says there's a chance running back David Montgomery returns from his quad injury tomorrow against the Packers. The Ravens adding veteran linebacker Kyle Van Noy to their practice squad. And the Jets sign QB Trevor Siemian, which should certainly tell Zach Wilson to
get your act together.
The good news for the Jets, they get to host the Chiefs on Sunday night. KC is neither good nor popular, so that's a welcome break for gangrene. Inter Miami says Leo Messi is a game-time decision for tonight's U.S. Open Cup final against Houston Dynamo FC. Messi missed two of their last three matches with an old scar tissue problem. Nets head coach Jacques Vaughn said yesterday Ben Simmons 100% playing 5-on-5 ahead of training camp. Simmons didn't play after mid-February last season because of continued back troubles. The Oklahoma City Council set a public vote for December 12th on the sales tax increase to fund a new arena for the Thunder. The 1% hike would last 6 years. The team committing a paltry $50 million to the $900 million projected cost. Brianna Stewart beat Alyssa Thomas and Asia Wilson for WNBA MVP. Wilson said it, quote, hurt like hell to lose, then went out and posted 30 points and 11 boards in the Aces' 91-84 win over the Wings. Wilson is the first player ever with three consecutive 30-point playoff games. Her team leads that best-of-five semi 2-0. Stewart and the Liberty fought off the sum 84-77 to salvage a split in New York. D.A., back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. We will remember Brooks Robinson next. D.A., CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you being with us on this Wednesday morning. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Sad news from the Baltimore Orioles yesterday that Brooks Robinson passed away at the age of 86. Brooks Robinson felt very superhero-esque when I was growing up. He played his entire career before I was born. So when I was growing up in the 80s and I was learning about the history of the game, of course, it was incredible just to kind of thumb through old record books or books, watch old footage, old VCR tapes, VHS tapes of World Series highlights, old baseball highlights. And those great Orioles teams of the late 60s, 70s, and early 80s always felt to be very kind of mystical and magical because there was the Oriole way, and there were so many great players, the Jim Palmers, the Brooks Robinsons, Frank Robinsons through Cal Ripken, and Old Memorial Stadium, and the way that the Orioles themselves kind of capture the imagination of a wonderful baseball town and were always winners. And those highlights of Brooks Robinson manning third base and being called the human vacuum cleaner felt very magical to me. You know, you're 9 years old and you're watching old grainy footage of World Series of yesteryear, and a guy is called the human vacuum cleaner. And then you see him diving, sprawling out for a hot shot down the line, getting up, throwing to first base, getting him out. And you just couldn't hit anything past Brooks Robinson, a guy that won 16 consecutive Gold Gloves. 16. He is easily the greatest defensive third baseman of all time. But also, he personified a classy organization that did things the right way, that won. He won two World Series over the course of his career and was part of all of those incredible Orioles teams that sometimes fell short, but also did do the job in that 1970 World Series against the Big Red Machine, the Reds, really before they were the Big Red Machine, was just filled with incredible stops. And so when the moment was biggest, he was at his best. And he was just dignified, appreciative, classy, and did everything the right way. And you could understand why he was so beloved and idolized in a city that loved the Orioles. And so I love the fact that the Orioles are once again winning. I love the fact that we'll see Baltimore in October. I love the fact that Camden Yards is alive again. And Brooks Robinson always felt like he floated. That he didn't really walk, didn't really run, he just floated. RIP to a definite legend. We'll come back and talk a little NFL after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.